As I was thinking of a message for this morning, last Sunday morning, the Lord gave the message to me, and I'm not even sure exactly what was said. Maybe while Dan was speaking, I'm not sure. But I just felt that this is what I should preach on, and now as I have studied and prepared, God has spoken to me, and so that happens. And so I share this message as a need in my own life. God has shown me. I will share the title here in just a little bit. Would like to maybe ask some questions and see if you can help me out here. In order to get to know someone, what is something that you're going to need to do? You have to do in order to get to know someone. What would you say that would be? Okay. Okay, ask them some questions. Be talking. That's exactly right. As you're doing that, what is something that you had to do in order to do that, though?
Spend time.
And I figured that's pretty much the way it was going to go. That first we were going to talk about the thing, we have to talk. We do. But even before that, we have to spend time. We have to break away, we have to stop what we're doing, whatever, and spend time with that person. And so, as we build friendships, what we like to do the best with a close friend is spend time with that person, and then talk or do what we do together, what we enjoy doing. So we spend time with those that we enjoy being around. Looking at time, and this is not my message, but just looking now at time, spending time, we all know that there's 24 hours in a day. And I searched just a little bit to find out how much time do we spend doing certain things. How much time do you think, we're just talking about average now, how much time do you think an average person spends sleeping? Let's figure out in a 24-hour day what an average person takes his time in doing. Roughly, what's the average amount of sleeping time for a person? 10 to 12. That'd be a good night's rest. That's what we need, probably. I found that average was 8. That sound, maybe? It's probably, for me, that would be closer. So, let's just say an average of 8. Could be 10, but let's say an average of 8 for most people. What is average working hours for a person? It fluctuates from country to country. Some countries have very few, and other countries have a lot more. But average, what do you think average is?
7 hours.
Okay, that's real close. 8. Think of 40 hours a week, 5 days a week. So, actually working hours where you're clocked in somewhere or whatever. Okay, so let's just say average of 8. So that's 16 hours now out of the 24. Now we're left with 8, right? What do we do those other 8 hours? We do many things. We eat. And I was figuring that eating would be, maybe 2 hours out of that. But it's not. It's actually average less than 1 hour that people eat in one day. Now that's eating pretty fast and keeping right on going. I think I would spend more time eating, not that we're just constantly eating, but sitting down to eat. I think we would, our family at least, would spend more. So I don't know, if you just round that off and just say at least an hour. So we're still left with 7 hours or so in a day. Now I look also at how much time people spend average on electronics. And that can be computer, that can be a mobile phone, video games, anything electronic. And here's what average people spend a day on that, and that is 8 hours of television would be in their electronic devices. It said also that children spend 6 hours a day on the same thing, computer or television, that type of thing. and they called it a toxic childhood, which I think was correctly put, a toxic childhood. Now, we're not sharing on technology this morning or computers and things either. I just wanted to kind of get our minds thinking on this whole thing of where do we spend our time. So we say that, well, this is not us. I pray hours a day on the computer, on our mobile phones, in front of a television or whatever. So we say, well, that's not us. We're not average. So what do we do? We're not just sitting around twiddling our thumbs. We're busy, right? We are busy people. And maybe in a little bit, I would like to hear from you what you find yourself doing some of that extra time that we have here, that we need to find out what we're doing. We keep ourselves busy doing something, and many of the things that we do, I would say, are good things. It's not like we're just wasting time, but they're good things. But what's left? The title for the message this morning is Alone with God, and I don't think I'll use the board, but just keep that in mind. Alone with God is the title. How much time are we spending in a day alone with God? It's probably one of the most heard confessions among Christian believers, is the confession that they lack a personal time alone with God, a personal prayer life, that we find ourselves lacking in that from time to time. One thing that we know, that time is there, we just need to make time, or to take time to do this, the devotional time with God. We take time to do what we want to do. You've heard that. And we do. If you want to do something bad enough, you make time. You take time. You arrange it so that it happens. I do the same. Now, we're busy, so the world knows that. And so how can we do things to help us in this busyness to spend time with God? I went to Dan's little bookstore. Now, I'm not speaking against any of these books. In fact, I may even say it later. I have used these types of books. I just say this to kind of stir our minds and think a little bit at the direction that the world tends to go, or authors tend to go to help us out in this problem of not having enough time. So let me just read some of these titles. There's a stack here of about six books. Here the book says 1 Minute Prayers for Men. Now that ought to fit my schedule, because we're pretty busy, and I can go and do my thing that day. But if I can have a little book, 1 Minute Prayers for Men. In the back it says, jumpstart your day with a verse of scripture and a brief prayer on topics of interest to every Christian man. These simple 1 minute prayers will help you focus more clearly on what's really important: your relationship with God, who created you, loves you, and wants you to be a part of your day. And that's wonderful. Do we want to pray a 1 minute prayer and then be on our way? And I'm not saying everybody that has this book, and if I would read it. But we need more than this, and I'll try to explain that. Here's one that's going to take a whole 3 minutes of your day to read one portion. 3 minute devotional for women. It says, take time to pause, reflect, rejuvenate by reading scripture, encouraging words, and a prayer starter to begin a conversation with God. No matter what your day brings, just the right-sized inspiration is guaranteed to be just the pick-me-up you need in your walk of faith. 365 promises for busy people. That's us. Then the bottom it says, verses and thoughts for a few minutes each day. 1 minute with God for women. They like this 1 minute thing. 1 minute devotionals for women. Here's a 1 minute devotions for dads. We're busy. Our dads are busy. And here's one that's, take 1 minute to read this, and then you can move on. And here's another one, 1 minute prayers. And these are all good. Is your day feeling scattered? Is there a weight on your mind? Are you glad about something? These simple 1 minute prayers will help you align your heart more closely with the God who made you, loves you, and wants to walk through the day with you. And I would encourage you on these books. I only state that to draw our minds. This is the tendency where we would tend to go, or Christians in general, I would say, would tend to go today, because we don't have enough time in the day, we say. And we struggle with having that time with God alone. But if we can find something that is quick, easy, I can read it, I can be up and going and doing my things, then we feel like we've done what we need to do. There's another one. In fact, Darius showed this to me, Beside the Still Waters. And I am a supporter of Beside the Still Waters. I love them, and I use them every day. In the back it says, take a few minutes to pause beside the still waters of God's Word. Drink deeply and you will find it cool and refreshing. And I would support any of you to read these. But let's do more than just a few minutes. This works well for maybe a family worship, doing something together, or with you and your spouse, or however. But as I go on, I think you'll understand what I'm trying to bring out here. It's more than just a few minutes and then we're off. Let us spend time alone with God. Why don't we see devotional books that have titles like this? And I just made some up. 2 hours with God each day. 1 hour prayers for busy men. Or 60-minute timeout for busy moms. Do you think they would sell? You think choice books would sell them? No, they wouldn't, because that's not what we want. We want something that's quick, we can read it, and we can go. I don't think they would sell many of these books. We don't have the time. So let's review what's happening during the day. What are some of the things that you do? And we're going to get to some scripture reading here in just a little bit. I'm going to load you up with some of that. But what are some things that you do now in these 7-8 hours that's left that occupies your time? Just share. There's nothing wrong, because I'm going to share some of the things that I do.
Driving.
Okay. We drive back and forth to town and different places. Okay, Hugh?
Gardening.
It's one of them I put down. I spent hours outside gardening, doing different things. It's good.
Shopping.
You can shop even at home online, right? So that's one way to shop. But getting out and going shopping, as we do that. Pardon?
Visiting
people is wonderful. Reading.
Washing dishes.
Cleaning the house. All of that. It's good things. So, there you go. That's what we spend a lot of our time doing. And they're good things. I wrote down hobbies. You know, that would just cover a lot of these. Time that nobody really mentioned the computer. We're probably scared to even mention that word, that we would even do such a thing. But guess what? We probably do, right? You probably email at least, or if you have Facebook or whatever, you spend some time on the computer. Be interesting for you, for myself, to actually take note of that and find out how much time in a day, average, that you spend on that computer. I would encourage you to do that. You can, reading was mentioned, and you can read many things. You can read, you know, big books. You can read magazines. You can read newspapers that just take whatever amount of your time every day. And so time moves on. There was an elderly man in our church by the name of Elmer Hirschberger. He's passed a number of years ago, and, his life was a blessing, and he chose to never read a newspaper or a magazine unless he was caught up with his time alone with God, and that was caught up with his Bible reading plan. He was one that read through the Bible. I think he died, and he was 90 or in that age, and he read his Bible through more times than he was old, if I remember right. He would read his Bible through a couple times in a year, for part of his life there, from what I remember. But anyway, that was his idea, that he would not read anything unless he was caught up for his Bible reading, whatever plan that he had. And that's always been an inspiration to me. This could only happen because he had a plan. He knew what was in place. He knew what time alone with God looked like. What plan do you have in place? How does time alone with God look for you? How does it? Look at that. What about, it was mentioned about the things we read, the magazines, and all that we tend to kind of fill up some of our time of the day. When you have extra time, maybe at home in the evening or whenever in the morning, what do you find yourself doing, reading? Are there books that are drawing your heart and your mind towards God? I'm all a big supporter of books. I wish I would read more. But let's read the books that encourage us and will lift us up. And let's not let them take the place of God's Word, the Bible. Have you read the Bible through? Think about that. Have you, and I'm sure many of you have, maybe all of you, but have you read the Bible through? You probably read many books through, but have you read the Bible? I know it's a thick book, it's small writing, and it takes a long time. Really, does it take a long time? You can read the Bible through in 1 year, and here we go. It will only take you 15 to 20 minutes a day. Really, that's what it takes to read the Bible through in 1 year. So maybe we should read it maybe twice in a year. I think we would have the time to do that. Now, we want to go to Scripture and find out where in Scripture does it give us some type of direction or give us some type of teaching on this time alone with God. I cannot take you to a Scripture and say, here it says in Scripture that you must spend, you know, 1 hour a day, or you must do this every day in order to please God. It's not there. But Scripture does talk about spending time and worshiping God and drawing from Him. Matthew 6, there's two verses there. It says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room." Here we have the idea now of separating yourself, going away into your room. "And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Here you see the thought of moving yourself into another room and at a quiet place alone with God. Jesus at different times separated himself. In Matthew 14:23, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening was come, he was alone there." Matthew 6:31, "And he said to them, come aside by yourselves," talking to the disciples, "come aside to a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." So here you see he's asking them to come aside, to be alone, to rest, to rejuvenate their bodies. Maybe this is not speaking in regards to having a reading of the word or a prayer. I'm not sure what all that meant, but it's the idea of pulling away from the busyness and the stress that's going on and to take time to rest and to find ourselves with God. What happens when you're hungry? What do you do when you're hungry? Don't we find time to solve that problem? We do. We stop. We take time to eat. Sometimes when we're busy, what do? We go through McDonald's and we order it and we stay in the vehicle and we pick it up and we're gone. And we eat on the go, right? And that's really not the way I enjoy eating. When I have a place to go and it's time to eat, maybe. But when I'm hungry and I want to sit down and eat, that's what I want to do, is sit down and eat. And I like it best when I can order it and they actually bring it to me. I don't even have to go up to a food bar and get it myself. It's just brought to me, and we can enjoy it. This is what God wants, I believe. He wants us to have that hunger and thirst for Him. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." And I believe this is more than just a drive-through, a one-minute prayer, or a three-minute reading. It's more than that. It's time sitting at the table, reading and praying and hearing God. How is your appetite for the things of God? Are you drawn to know more about God? Are you drawn to be alone with God? Or does that look big? Does that look maybe boring to you? At times it does. At times it does. The drive-through window is not an option to solve our hungry, thirsty souls as it relates to our spiritual needs. So often we're hungry for other things, our work, our busyness, our gardening, whatever it is, the hobbies, good things, but we're busy and we're hungry for that. And so this other takes second seat. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." This word "be still" in the Hebrew means cease, stop, be still, just be quiet and rest. Be still and know that I am God. David's song in 1 Chronicles 16:7-11 says, "On that day David first delivered his psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him, sing songs to him, talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his name, let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord." And then verse 11 says, "Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore." And I believe when we find ourselves alone with God, that is what we are doing. We are seeking. When we seek for something, what do? We stop what we're doing. We stop everything else and we seek for that particular thing that we're after. And that is what we must do when we are seeking after God. We must stop and lay those things down and focus on that search, that worship time. A good example of this in the Bible is found in an account in Luke. If you would turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 10. There's a couple of verses there. And it's talking of two ladies, Mary and Martha, and how the one was able to be still, to cease what she was doing, to stop, and the other did not. Interesting account. Let's read Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. "Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" So what was most important here? I think the most important part was that Martha should have stopped what she was doing. In her busyness, in the good things that she was doing, preparing food or whatever it was, she was supposed to stop and to listen and to worship, to be alone with God. That was the better part. Now, let's just look at some practical points as it relates to being alone with God. When is the best time? Morning or evening? We'd say middle of the day, maybe not, because of all the comings and going. You don't know where you're going to be at in the middle of the day. So we say morning or evening. And we say pretty quickly, well, what suits best? Just what suits you best. Some of you are night people, some of you are morning people, and we just what works best. I don't know that that's the best way to find out. Maybe we should look at it more like rather than what fits me the best, my preference, what is the best? What is the best? What would maybe be the hardest time for me, and then maybe make it that time? I wonder if we shouldn't look at it in that way. It's like we try to fit it into my schedule, into my preferences, rather than into God's schedule. Don't set it to fit your schedule, but have it set your schedule. This time alone with God. Have it set your schedule and not the other way around. The Lord wants our precious time, not our spare time. He wants the time that maybe is hard for you to give. He wants that time, not just some spare time that you have. Psalm 63:1 says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. I don't know what this early means. I don't know if this meant early in the morning. I like the idea of having time alone with God in the morning. I like that. But whatever David's saying here, I believe it meant first and foremost, before anything else, this time alone with God was when he was seeking after God. What does time alone with God look like? Is it reading the Bible and praying? And that's it? I believe those are the two key points in time alone with God. But I believe we can maybe look at different forms and methods in using prayer and Bible reading. Having a plan. I believe having a plan is very important. And as I was preparing for this message, I realized that for quite a time I had more of a plan. Since we're here, my schedule has been somewhat changed, and I've kind of got away from a plan. And it hasn't helped. And so that's where God has spoken to me. But for me, having a plan is very important in this time alone with God. You must need to know when that time is going to be. You must need to know what you're going to be reading or the program that you're in, and not just going into it and saying, okay, 15 minutes today and then opening your Bible. I believe God can speak in that way some, but I believe it's important that you have a plan. You know where you're going. Know what you will read. There are different methods for doing this. And I just went through and wrote down things that I thought of. And maybe in a little bit we can ask you to share of maybe something that you do that you appreciate and have enjoyed. You can read through the Bible in 1 year. Doesn't take that long to do it. You can do that. I like to do it in my personal Bible. You can have Bibles that you, a one-year Bible, you can read through it. I like doing it in my Bible because I'm one that writes in my Bible. So as I'm reading, I can underline or write something. Maybe some of you don't write, and that's fine, but that's just something that I like to do. You can listen to the Bible on audio and follow along. I'd recommend following along and not putting the headphones on and laying back and then waking up when it's done. I think it's important that if you listen to it, I think there's a benefit from that. You follow along. A devotional book, like what I have here, that would go along with something that you're reading, that you could maybe read as a thought for the day. I see these more as something that maybe would go along with a longer time, more as a thought for the day that you can maybe easily take with you. Because it's something about it, when it's kept shorter, you can keep it in your mind a little easier. So I promote these books. Let's not just read one and then go our way. Let's do more than just a short time. Memorization. That's a tough one. But I think alone with God can be a time of memorizing Scripture. You can take a subject and study it. We don't need to wait until we have a devotional or a sermon to study a particular part of the Bible. You can study it now. Pick out something. Maybe you were in a discussion the other day in the break room, the tea room. We were discussing something afterwards, and afterwards it turned into more of a discussion. So we can take that now and study it. You can make that part of your devotional time. Part of our time alone with God is in praying, I believe is very important. Praying. Kneeling down. standing up. You can pray walking. I've done that already, where I would get up and walk. And you can pray while you're walking. God can speak. And you can take these things. I don't know. I haven't done this, but I thought about it. That you could you know, have a plan that one morning I'd do this, the next morning I'd do this, and you just know that every Monday I'm going to go out and walk from my prayer time, or however you want to do it. But make it something that's meaningful, but have a plan. You can write down on paper a prayer to God. I've never done that, and file it, and then maybe come back the end of that week or the next week and review it. You know what? Sometimes we pray things we forget, but pray about something as it relates maybe to your own life, and then come back to it and ask yourself, how did God answer this prayer? Talking about praying, what happens when we pray to God? It seems like it's pretty easy to bring things to God, and we just pray to Him. And I think we have time. Let me just illustrate it this way. And I need a doctor, and I think I know who one is, right? We have Dr. Midgiani. So Dr. Midgiani, why don't you just come up here, and you can just sit right here. You don't have to say a word. I just sit up here on the front bench, right up here. And so we can pray to God sometimes, and it might look like this. So, doctor, it's been good to see you. Really been bothering me, and I'm just thankful that I could be here at your office today. It hurts, it's painful, and not only is my back, but it gets me, my headache is bad during the day. I just struggle, I can't work. I'm just wondering if there's anything that you can do about it. I have to be at work in 2 minutes. Thank you. Go back. Oh, my back. And we go, and so we ask God, and we tell Him all of our problems, and we pray for this and that. And we pray it. We close the prayer, and we go to work. When I go to the doctor, I can't wait to go there because my back hurts, and I have a headache. But after I give all that to the doctor, what did I go there for? I went there to what? To listen to him give his diagnosis, right? To listen to him give hopefully a remedy, to give me some pills, some exercises or something. But do we do that to God? I think prayer can be a time of just praying, but then it's okay to be there for 10 minutes or 15 minutes, whatever it takes, and let maybe God speak to you. I don't do that enough, probably hardly at all, but maybe it's something we should do more, just more of a quiet, not even talking, but just meditating, and then being willing to listen for that still small voice. Singing, I believe, can be part of our devotional time. I don't know. I heard Caleb singing this morning upstairs. Now, he was singing. And that sounded good. We can sing. I don't know if he was having his devotional time or not. I don't think he was. I think he was just feeling good. But we can sing. We can sing together as a family. I think even listening to songs, singing along with them. For me, singing really does a lot to lift my spirits. Time alone with God. You can do many different things. It doesn't have to be just sitting down, reading the Bible, praying, and just the same thing. If that works for you, it's fine. But you can. I think we can do some of these things to make it maybe something that is more enjoyable or keeps you more alert. It's the most important part of our day, yet probably the one that is most ignored or neglected. Now, What are some things that you will have to do to make this happen? We're talking about a lot of things here. So what will you have to do? What will I have to do to make this happen? This is what comes to my mind. I must realize the importance of it. I must realize that it is important, that I spend time with God, that I am alone with Him. I must do it even when I don't feel like it. That's probably the time that you need it the most. And so, to make it happen, you need to do it whether you feel like it or not. You must take the time. The time is there. It will be there. Everybody has the time. But you must take the time. You will never find time for anything. You must take the time. You must get up on time. If you're going to do it in the morning, which I strongly recommend, you have to get out of bed. And you must get out of bed in time to do this. If you're going to spend a half an hour or an hour, you must have that in your plan and then get up and get out of bed and make it happen. If it's in the evening, then you need to start going to bed on time and not wait until 11 o'clock to go to bed. You must have a plan. We talked about that. To make this happen, I believe a plan is important. You must discipline yourself. I think it's part of this whole thing of disciplining ourselves. Be accountable. If you are struggling with it, find a friend and tell them, look, I'm going to commit myself and I want to be accountable to you in that. And I believe you will be helped. And what are some other things? There's many other things that you must do. The last one I put down was to get started. And to get started now. Don't wait until January the 1st, 2015. Sometimes we think, oh, we have to wait till the first of the year to start a Bible reading plan. You don't have to. You can start right now. And it works just as good. Probably might even work better. So get started. And get started now. What will you receive during time alone with God? You will receive strength for the journey. You will receive hope. You will receive blessings from God. We heard about blessings this morning. You will receive blessings from God. I really believe that you will. Another thing I believe that happens is we won't always experience the... I heard my father say it. You won't always experience a beam from heaven coming down on you in the Word every morning. And you just walk away with, wow, that was powerful. We won't always have those experiences. Hopefully you'll have some of that. But it's okay. That doesn't mean that we don't listen, that we don't continue to have that time alone with God. But I believe God honors that time that you have spent with Him that day. And I believe there are things that go with you that day that you have no idea that are there. Protection. I believe it's like putting on your armor for the day as you go out into the workplace. You take a protection for the battle for that day. And if you miss it, I believe that can open that up. And the more we miss it, the more we become unregular with it, the more vulnerable we become. Another thing we receive from it is discipline. I mentioned that. We learn to discipline ourselves. And I do it, whether I feel like it or not. I get up and I have that time. It's part of a disciplined life. We could talk more about family time, fathers in the home, spending this time alone with God, with your family. And maybe sometime we can talk about that. Thank you for your thoughts. It's time to close. I would like to, maybe in closing, I thought there was more Christian hymnaries here, the black books. How many, there's a song in there I would like to sing. If there's a black book by you, make sure every bench at least maybe has one. And let's turn to song number 840. Song number 840 in the Christian hymnary. And if someone, Jonathan, you don't have a book back there. It is When Storms of Life Around Me Beating. And the chorus goes alone. It talks about being alone with God. So if you would lead that, and we'll sing that song here in closing. Then following the song, I'll let you share testimony or word of encouragement. Maybe something that you have done in a time with God that you have enjoyed and you want to share with us. All right, let's sing.